Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard-drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard-drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do?
Uploaded that song like 2 months ago to be our opening song, and it wouldn't take. It was always Thunderstruck. So now apparently it is our opening song. So okay, what? Well, that's good. That's cool.
Finicky website. That's awesome.
Do what?
I said finicky website. That's always awesome.
Hey, it's, we're professionals around here. All right, we know what we're doing.
There is a method to our madness.
Yes, there is. We gotta keep our listeners on our toes, We're so crazy. We have different opening songs each week. We're gonna revolutionize radio right here. Okay.
There you go.
You know what? I have an embarrassing story to tell you. I had a fire with my daughter. Rihanna, you guys were all camping the fire. I got jealous, so I popped a fire pit.
All right? Like, you know what? I'm going to run on fire. What's going on? That's my
there you
fire.
Go.
I cheated and bought a fire log because I didn't feel like going up, like, being Survivor Man and grabbing sticks and shit. So I run a fire log. I chop wood. I chop logs. So I did that. But I want the fire to actually start without having to use lighter fluid. I bought a fire log. Everything was great. We had about marshmallows, roasting marshmallows. Like, you know what? I'm going to have a marshmallow, so, you know, roast it, and then kind of grab, you know, get the roasted marshmallow off, you know, off the stick with my mouth, and I'm burning my lip. I got injured.
Ouch.
Roasting marshmallows. How many people
did you use a regular stick, or did you use one of the metal marshmallow ones?
Metal clothes hangers, you know.
So what did you learn?
You don't take marshmallows off with your mouth. But it's my hand. It's gotten down over my finger. So, you know, it's like, you know, fuck either way. But that's my little story. My injury story. You had a fun weekend. Going
yes.
Camping. ASPS
trip. It was awesome. It was so beautiful out there. And I think Debbie and Elaine for letting us come out there.
We need to get them back on the show.
We should.
Have them talk about, you know, other investigations we've been on. They're part of RC Paranormal, right? That's their group.
I didn't hear what you said.
Is there a group RC Paranormal who they're with?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I got that right.
I heard that
I have a hard time keeping my mouth close to the receiver on my phone, so I'm going to try to make more of an effort to do that. It's just sometimes it slips on me when I'm talking for so long. So, but it's awesome. You had a good time on your trip.
I get to go fishing. I think it was Sunday afternoon. I was excited about that.
what happened Sunday afternoon?
Oh, I got to go fishing.
Fish. Oh, yeah.
We went hiking to go
fun.
Fishing.
Do what?
So we went hiking to go fishing, which was interesting. It definitely worked out the leg muscles.
How long was the walk?
It wasn't how long it was. It was the fact that we had to go up this really, really, really steep hill and then go down the other side because it was where the river dammed.
Did you guys catch a lot of fish?
It was strictly catch and release. I mean, I caught a baby catfish. I think Shannon caught a minnow. And I don't know what Jimmy caught because he was all the way on the other side, like kind of like catty-cornered from us. Well, on a different section of the, on the river. So.
Okay. Let's see, I went to Maine. Let's see. Saturday, what did I do? I went to the Strawberry Festival with Shannon's mom and Rihanna in Ashland. Then went Sunday, since Rihanna wanted to be lazy, which is fine. I took my ass out to Maymont Park, walked around there. Then I went to Pump House Park, walked around there for a little bit. Then I came home. So it's just kind of a productive week, huh? So it was fun. You know, I mean, that's one of not as interesting as yours because I was still in Richmond, but, you know. How did you guys stay up?
I'm sorry?
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
I was going to say, how did you guys stay up on Saturday?
It wasn't a bad drive. It was only 2 hours. And instead of taking 64 to 81, we took 33 straight up. We went through Gordonsville and right past the exchange. I pointed that out for Jimmy to see.
Oh, cool.
And it was nice. It was very, very pretty, very, a lot of farmland, especially when we got out there. There were so many dairy farms. I was like, ah, it looks like home, except in Goochland we only have one main dairy farm.
That's funny. One, I'm missing out, so I guess lots of open land and shit.
My ears kept popping.
Definitely need to chew some gum. That always helps when you're going to...
chewing gum, and it didn't work for me, so I had to make myself yawn.
That works, too. That works. I think about the yawning part. I just can't make myself yawn all the time. Because then it's addicting. It's like a drug. Once start yawning, you can't stop.
Thank you for talking about yawning. No, I'm yawning. Huh.
You think about yawning. Makes me want to yawn.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks a lot for that. Appreciate it.
I got good news.
Good news.
I started my job at Ford today.
First on race
yes,
day.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
First on race day.
Dude, I was so excited. He actually, I wasn't really expecting to work on cars. I was thinking, you know, they're gonna treat me like a basic learner. I'm probably gonna have to sit back and watch and do like computer training and stuff like that. But no, after about an hour of being there, he was like, all right, here's an oil change, have fun. I was like, yes!
That's awesome. It's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy is all black and white, you know, and she opens the door into Oz, you know, that's how it felt like walking that door, Dorothy, wasn't it? You know.
Well, it was that. Mixed with, like, that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like, first impression with a mixture of, like, Alice falling down the rabbit hole. Because I felt really, really small. Like, I felt really, really small, and then as my confidence kept building up, and, you know, they let me do oil changes and stuff like that, and I just, it's like taking bites out of that mushroom to grow taller.
Yeah, buddy. Confidence can do wonders.
Yeah.
That was actually, to get back to, you know, Paranormal, I was looking online, trying to find some cool articles for us to talk about before our guest comes on. I found an article that could be total bullshit, but it was actually talked about on Darkness Radio, which is a national talk show. So I figured I'd read it on air to see what people think, because I found it to be very interesting. It says, Irish scientists claim to have found real-life leprechaun cave in small northwest fishing village. Researchers at Trinity College Dublin have discovered a cave on Ireland's northwest coast, which they believe was once the actual home of a leprechaun. Scientific evaluation of the artifacts found in the small cave reveals that shoemaking equipment, maps, and gold coins were apparently left behind by the leprechaun sometime between the years 1650 and 1700. The recent discovery was made by two amateur cavers who are TCD students on holiday in the fishing town of Killybegs. That's a awesome name, Killybegs. Oh, let's go to Killybegs. All right, nice. They heard myths recounted by locals about a small, mysterious cave about 2 kilometers up the shoreline. Set out to investigate. After several days of searching, they found what appeared to be the entrance to a cave, well camouflaged by large boxing trees. The outcropping was engraved with what seemed to be rudimentary Gaelic lettering. However, the cave was much too small for them to enter and explore, with their entries only about 60 centimeters tall. Upon their return to school, they notified the Spelological Union of Ireland and the Geography Department at Trinity College Dublin of their discovery. A team of researchers from TCD, led by Professor Sean Thornton, set out for the region the following month with equipment which would allow them to remotely see inside the cave and extract samples. After obtaining the required permits, the team used robot-mounted remote-controlled cadiotic cameras to maneuver through a long, winding entrance and obtain the first-ever view of the curious interior. What the cameras revealed stumped Thornton and the entire exploration party at first. The cave was approximately 1 meter tall, almost perfectly round, and the size of a small shop. In the center of the floor was a rickety wooden table on which were several scraps of withered leather material, four oddly shaped pieces of rotted wood, a hammer, and some rusty iron pegs. In one corner was a towel of moldy and tattered fabric, which had obviously been gnawed by rodents at some point, covering two small rusty sprays of iron. Along one side of the cave were two pieces of clay pottery with sludge caked on their bottoms. On the opposite wall was a large boulder, which apparently had hidden a recessed compartment before being pushed aside. Next to the opening, a map of some sort had been etched into the wall. Finally, one of the cameras was able to get a view of the compartment's interior, which contained four gold coins. The inside findings were documented on video, and arms attached to the robots were used to retrieve all the items. They were taken to Trinity College for evaluation and research. In consultation with experts from departments of history, Irish and Celtic languages, and natural sciences, as well as archaeologists from University College Dublin, combined findings stunned all involved. All of the items dated to the period 1650 through 1700, according to both scientific dating techniques and expert evaluation, particularly of the gold coins which were discovered. The authorities were convinced by the shape and size of the wood pieces they had been used as last, most likely used to make shoes with leather material, hammer and nails found next to them. The sludge at the bottom of the pottery was identified as remnants of dandelions or similar flower, probably steeped in water which had been contained in the bowls. The molded pieces of fabric and rusty squares were reconstructed to form what appeared to be a brightly colored jacket and folded buckled hat. The coins were Irish double pistoles struck in the year 1646. And while the map did not correspond to any of the known geographic features of the area during that period, the unmistakable image of a rainbow dominated one end. The startling, hard to believe, but unanimous conclusion drawn by the experts based on the artifacts and the size of the cave was that it had once been home to a leprechaun. The shoemaking materials, dandelion tea, clothing, golden map to the end of the rainbow, all housed in a living space in which no humans could fit. Could be explained no other way, according to the researchers. Their conclusion was supported by a linguist from TCD who was also on the expedition. He believed the quasi-Gaelic inscription found at the entrance to the cave roughly translates to, "Who steals me gold won't live through the night." Thornton and his team plan a return to the region later this year for further exploration. We will keep our readers informed of their findings. So, think about that. Okay, well, looks like I've lost Kristen, I think.
Aloha.
Damn,
I keep forgetting I hit the mute button sometimes.
Jesus. I saw you on here. I'm like, see you? I figured that's what you did.
I knew leprechauns existed.
Yeah, exactly. It's not one of those fucking, like, you know, onion deals where it's like, oh, it's all the bullshit, we're just fucking with you, you know? Because that would be, it seems like one of those things where it's just a hoax or, like, one of those fake news articles. Because it's not like it's on, I'm not reading it off CNN.com or whatever, it's on Newsfeed or some shit. NewsBuzz or one of those websites.
The true question lays, are they like the Lucky Charms leprechaun? Or are they like the leprechaun movie leprechauns?
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like it's, you ever heard the elf in the shoe, the cobbler, whatever, the guy, the the guy who the cobbler who cobbles shoes. He's the he goes to sleep, and the elves come in and they make all these great shoes for him because he can't afford to buy the material or something. And I think it's like that. I think it's probably nice. He probably just tends to stay to himself. But if he tries to take his gold, like you heard what it said, he who steals me gold won't live through the night. I think they want to be left alone. Imagine if the kids took the Lucky Charms and he decided to kill him because he took his Lucky Charms. That's pretty much what I think we're dealing with. So you leave him alone, that's fine.
Okay, so it's not like Leprechaun where it goes out and like searches for people to kill. It's just if you screw with it, you're screwed.
No. Oh, no. Trying to work on my Irish accent. It's not working very well.
Hi, boy. Yeah. I need to learn how to look at you.
Oh, nice. Maybe we should do a show on like creatures like that, like fairies. And leprechauns, and
get into the world of the Irish and the Celts, eh?
Oh yes. I gotta stop. I'm sounding terrible. Help myself.
I really hate to say this because I'm a really big Colin Farrell fan, but I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Seven Psychopaths.
The movie called Psychopaths.
Have you ever seen the movie Seven Psychopaths?
Oh, no.
All right, well, I really hate to say this because I'm a very big Colin Farrell fan, but he can't do an Irish accent very well.
He's from Ireland, so how does that work?
Huh?
Colin Farrell, he's
Irish. It's like, I don't know, it was slipping in the movie.
Well, I don't know, because he's Irish, so... That's like saying you can't do a Virginia accent. It's just terrible. Well, I'm from Virginia.
Well, just because he's Irish doesn't mean he's direct from Ireland, is he?
Well, I mean, that is not exactly what it means. If you're Irish, you're from Ireland. I don't think he's Scottish.
I'm part Irish.
He's actually from... Is Ireland or Scotland? You know he's not English.
Well, hold my phone. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll figure it out later. I'm a little out of it. I'm still excited from, like, this morning, so.
I know. You're on your phone high. I understand. Actually, I can't blame you. It's fun to try new things, especially since you're so miserable about your other job. You know, it's like out of the darkness into the light.
Huh?
It's like out of the darkness and into the light, you know?
Pretty much. I've been waiting for a job like this for forever. Oh, my life.
You know what's up. You've got to see. It's fascinating the musical. Man, so yeah, we have leprechauns. They're real. You know they have leprechaun webcams set up in Ireland where you can watch a camera set up in like near a cave, I suppose a leprechaun cave, and see if you catch something, you can stop it and record it and you can send it in for like evidence. I sat there with a beer in front of my computer and watch the leprechaun cam for about 10 minutes until I got bored. Apparently, ghost cams set up, I think it's in the Willard Library in Indiana. And you can watch and see if you catch anything on there. And if you catch it, you can try to record it. I don't know how you record it, unless you push record the whole time. If you see it, it's already gone, so I don't know how that works. But I haven't actually tried to record evidence yet, so I haven't figured that part out yet. I'm stumped. Oh well, then again, I am not. I don't sit there and watch them long enough to actually see anything.
I don't know, you do pretty good with our video evidence, although that's just because lots of Red Bull involved.
Yeah. I mean, and even if I caught something on the Willard Library cam, it's like, who cares? It's like, if it's anyone can do it, then it's not really that special.
True.
But if you want to be a lazy ghost hunter, or a spirit paranormal investigator, you can just go online and click on one of the many ghost cams they have out there.
Oh, that would be awesome to like set up a website with a CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
With a constant spirit cam going.
That'd be cool. You know, but we have to figure out where we would put it.
I wouldn't mind
see if we can put a camera system in the in Belnemus. You know, over the weekend. You know, just see like Friday to Sunday. I mean, we have a lot of evidence to review, but just to see, and then put recorders in there to not even, you know, go in there. You know. Not even investigate, just put the static digis around the house and see what we catch.
And have a SD7 session going in the basement.
There we go. There's an idea.
You can have like a tape recording on repeat of us asking questions.
Exactly.
And having like 1 or 2 minute pauses. In between each question?
We could each have like a different person ask a question, so it's a different voice. You know? That might be cool to try. You know? But I think most of our most EVPs we've caught there have been haven't been like responses. And there have been some, don't get me wrong. But most of the stuff we've caught have been either residual or maybe they're just trying to get our attention.
We definitely got our attention last time with the hand.
Yeah, that's true. But we didn't realize that happened until we got back. You know, even
in
the
choir.
The ball of light in the basement. You know. Well, I got a message from our guest, and she will not be able to make it tonight. So.
That's a hardcore sad face right there.
Do what?
I said, that's a hardcore sad face right there.
I know.
I like talking to her.
She'll come back. She'll be back on. You know,
okay.
I hope. It's not tonight. So now you get to hear another article I found. This is about time travel.
That should be interesting.
Yes, this is pretty interesting.
Now, is it legitimate time travel, or are we talking like out-of-body type experiences?
Well, let's read the article and find out, shall we?
Deal.
Seattle attorney Andrew Passiaggio. Claims U.S. sent him on time travels. Let's see, this is on Huffington Post, Weird News. So Huffington Post, that's kind of a respectable news.
Yeah.
I guess. I can't think of the word. News. I can't think right now. A lot of people have a hard time trusting lawyers as it is. But what about one who claims he was part of a secret government time travel program as a kid? Since 2004, Seattle attorney Andrew Passiaggio has been publicly claiming that from the time he was 7 to when he was 12, he participated in the Project Pegasus, a secret U.S. government program, so wrap your alley, program that he says worked on teleportation and time travel under the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They trained children along with adults so they could test the mental and physical effects of time travel on kids, Basiaggio told the Huffington Post. Also, children had an advantage over adults in terms of adapting to the strains of moving between past, present, and future. Skeptical? You're not alone. Hong Kong physicist Xing Wang Du issued a paper last year saying time travel is impossible because nothing moves faster than the speed of light, the Los Angeles Times reported. Nevertheless, Basiaggio's claim gets support from Alfred Weber, a lawyer specializing in exopolitics, or the political implications surrounding an extraterrestrial presence on Earth. Weber said teleportation and time travel have been around for 40 years, but are hoarded by the Defense Department instead of being used to transfer goods and services far away distances. It's an inexpensive, environmentally friendly means of transportation, Weber told the Huffington Post. The Defense Department has had it for 40 years, and former Defense Secretary Rumsfeld used it to transport troops to battle. Basiaggio said he experienced 8 different time travel technologies during his in the program. Mostly, he said, his travel involved a teleporter based on technical papers supposedly found in pioneering mechanical engineer Nikola Tesla's New York City apartment after his death in January 1943. The machine consisted of 2 gray elliptical brooms about 8 feet tall, separated by about 10 feet, between which a shimmering curtain of what Tesla called radiant energy was broadcast, Basiaggio said. Radiant energy is a form of energy that Tesla discovered that is latent and pervasive in the universe and has among its properties the capacity to bend time and space. Basiaggio said project participants were jumped through this field of radiant energy into a vortal tunnel, and when the tunnel closed, we found ourselves at our destinations. One either felt as if one was moving at a greater speed or moving not at all, as the universe was wrapped around one's location, Basiaggio said. Basiaggio claimed he can be seen in a photograph of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg in 1863, which he said he visited in 1972 via a plasma confinement chamber located in East Hanover, New Jersey. I had been dressed in period clothing as a Union Bugle boy, he said. I attracted so much attention at the Lincoln speech in Gettysburg, wearing oversized men's street shoes, that I left the area around the dais and walked about 100 paces over to where I was photographed in the Josephine Togg image of Lincoln at Gettysburg. The boy that left him, there's a picture, actually, there's a picture online you can actually look at. If you look up this article, it actually looks pretty, you can actually see him. I don't know if it's true or real or not. In addition, Basiaggio said he traveled into Ford's Theater the night of Lincoln's assassination on 5 or 6 occasions. I did not, however, witness the assassination, he said. Once I was on the theater level when he was shot and heard the shot followed by a great commotion that arose in the crowd. It was terrible to hear. Oh, man. So that's fine. It goes on. Keeps going and going and going and going and going and going and going. Really long article. But I like reading it all because it's long.
So he was involved with Pegasus?
Yes, that was the name of the time travel, I guess, program that Happy Government had. Have you heard of Pegasus?
I have heard of Pegasus. That's actually quite interesting. Like, I'm actually gonna, once I go back upstairs after watching Dinner Cook while my parents are occupied at the moment, they're going outside to check on some stuff. They heard the commotion outside. I want to look at a picture of him and a picture of the Abraham Lincoln photo that you were talking about.
Well, go to Huffington Post. Go to Weird News on Huffington Post. It should be on there still. I just found the article the other day.
Deal.
Talk about, are you even going to go to, like, Google.com or Bing.com and search in Seattle lawyer time travelers or something like that? I mean, what do you think? You think it could be done? I mean, I don't know much about science, so.
I don't know. Considering the newfangled technology that we have today, it really wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but it's not newfangled. He said he was doing it back in 1972. So, I mean, that's back when we barely had, we didn't even have, like, internet or fiber optic cables. We had nothing.
Pegasus, the government's really not going to be like, hey, population, look at this. Look what we can do.
Oh, no. But if you have enough technology to send some guy back in time, you can, you know, have enough technology to give everybody free Wi-Fi. You know, come on. Give us a bone here, government. Jeez. Man, good God. But you see all those 1970s movies and stuff. It's like the Star Trek. I think Star Trek has just gone off the air. This was before Star Wars even came out. And that's supposed to be like, you know, future technology and stuff. And now we're time travel. So
I dare you to watch a couple of episodes of Star Trek and then sit down in a Walmart somewhere and just watch people. Or a mall, any mall.
So watch Star Trek and watch people?
Mm-hmm. Watch it, like, episode or two of Star Trek. Kind of keep an eye on the kind of technology that they use. And then turn around and go to a mall or a... Huh?
I mean, that sounds exactly like what they have here, like the transponders and stuff, whatever, you know, the form of communications and stuff.
Yeah, and the tablets and stuff.
Yeah. But think about back then. I mean, apparently back then they were like five, six years away from time travel, you know, according to the Huffington Post article.
I don't know. It looks like it's like a 50-50 type deal. Like, it could, but at the same time,
It's 50-50. What I'm not saying is it's God's honest truth. It's like the whole Leprechaun thing. You know, we just put articles out there that people can, you know, believe what they want. You know, Thomas, you know,
yeah,
just trying to, you know, pique their curiosity a little bit. You know, but we have learned
it's like conspiracy theories.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, if I'll caution the listeners, you know, we're not saying the articles are true. They could be total bullshit. We don't know. That's the whole thing about the paranormal. We don't know. You know.
Opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one.
Exactly. And, you know, Would it be cool to find out that, hell yeah, there's a leprechaun cave that's real? Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I want to visit it.
Me too, man. But you know, if it's real, you're just going to be like a line of people trying to get into the leprechaun cave. It's going to be, you know, vandalized. Stuff, and people are going to be leaving boxes of Lucky Charms outside the hole, the entrance, whatever, and then there'll be bars of Irish Spring soap will be left outside. It's going to be one big mess.
I don't know. I think I'd take a couple of nuggets of gold.
Oh, yes. So he'll leave you alone. If you give him some, we should bring some pocket gold candies. There we go.
He's like, I bring tithings. Please don't harm me. I just want to, you know, peruse where you live.
It makes you wonder, though, if it's real, where do they go? You know?
It's just It's just like the gnomes that put that sign on the front of my car that says, please pull out in front of me. And when I park, they scramble out from underneath and pull it down real quick before I can see them.
There's none. There's gnomes. When you think about it, you know, if the cave is real, you know, and there were once leprechauns here, where are they now? You know? Is there a portal to another realm, maybe?
Hobbits and
world?
Live underground.
Yeah, but, I mean, with all the technology we have, you know, and all the, there can't be that much, Ireland is not the biggest place. There can't be that many places for them to hide. You know, the people have been around for a while. You know, but maybe, like they said, that cave was found because, you know, it was actually hidden by a bunch of leaves and sticks. You know, maybe you just keep on taking time to look properly for them, but I mean, there can't be that many of them around if they can't be found.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of if there's another, like, alternate dimension. They travel between worlds and stuff, and sometimes they go and appear by accident. And they just make choose until they're ready to come back to, you know, their own world, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many possibilities on things that can happen with stuff like that. I mean, when we were talking about the cryptids and stuff and the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and how hard it is to catch sightings or stuff like that, I mean, without somewhat legitimate proof, I mean, yeah, you've got your footprints and you've got your pictures for the sightings and stuff, but then you turn around and people don't really believe that leprechauns exist, and then all of a sudden you find a cave. I mean, these life forms just all of a sudden decided to stop caring about people or just didn't want to intermingle with them, and then all of a sudden they're the master hiders.
Well, I think a lot of the creatures like leprechauns or fairies, or, you know, for a long time they had the woods to themselves. You know, they could roam free in the woods and not really be bothered by anybody, because a lot of the time the people would stay in villages and they wouldn't roam around too far into the woods because they had the, you know, mythology and they had all these stories in their heads. They were scared to go very far into the woods, because they didn't want to, you know, poke the wolf, so to speak, or find a big bad wolf, or find the witch's hut made out of candy. So they would stay close to those where it was safe. But as we get, you know, more into industrial age, and, you know, cities are growing, and, you know, you have gas light, you don't have to be scared anymore, you have roads going through the woods now. It's gave them less places for them to hide. So I was thinking, as, you know, as the Industrial Revolution hit, lots of the creatures, if they're around, they just kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Sorry, I accidentally hit the mute button.
No,
I was talking, and then I was like, hey, that's not...
Well, she talks to these words. Shut up, God.
I'm sorry.
I should be apologizing to you. I was talking over you. You know, you had
in a
on
sense.
Me, so what were you saying when you pushed the mute button?
Talking about the industrialized ages, and you also got to think of, like, the population play. Who's to say that all those stories about, you know, all these bad things happening and they're blaming it on the leprechauns or the fairies or the Yeti, of all things.
Yeah.
Who's to say that they didn't do that as protection for themselves, because they didn't know us and Of course, they can't speak our language, maybe. And they decided now that the population has risen, or as we steadily grew in population, they're like, well, it's not worth it anymore. And they're just finding different places to hide.
You think about, there's a reason why they left. They're not around anymore. And the reason why, you know, they were talked about. You know, the reason why they're part of the folklore.
They probably got mad at us for cutting down all the trees and building asphalt roads and skyscrapers.
But, I mean, like I said, what can they do about it, you know? Really. So you think...
Revolutionary war!
People revolution! The fairy world versus the human race. God. You know, part of me thinks I'd probably join the fairy army against the human race if it was between, like, knocking down trees and stuff. I don't know.
There's many different theories about mythology. That's the word I was looking for.
I always have a hard time thinking of words on air. It's like my brain cuts off, and I'm like, get on this show. Like, I can't think of a word.
I always feel like I'm not really getting my points across or trying to explain things in depth to where... It makes sense in my brain, but when I'm talking, I don't know if it makes sense to other people.
It makes sense to me, but, you know, gotta keep in mind, we're not radio hosts, although we do play some on TV. You know, I mean, so, you know, we're not trained in this, so when we're talking like this, sometimes it's hard for us to get our points across, as well as, like, trained professionals do. You know, but I know what you're talking about there. There's so many different mythologies, mythos out there. So many different creatures out there. Not just me. You know there are the big ones, leprechauns and fairies. But there are sort of all goblins, hobgoblins, there's, you know, wood nymphs, and there's, you know, all those other...
Dwarves, nymphs, the other one. And there goes the mind blank.
Well, there's, you know, we can list them. But what fun is that? Let the audience look them up for us.
I didn't hear what you just said.
I said we can list them, but what fun is that? Let our audience do some research on their own.
Yeah.
We can't do all the work. Jeez, come on now.
Like I said, I'm downstairs and wildly distracted, but I'm still trying to stay on point.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm like walking in and out of my office, trying to make words from my mouth.
For some reason. I had this mental image when you said that you're walking, trying to get words out of your mouth. Is while you're walking, there's a hamster in your brain running in a wheel, and there's this big thing that looks like a bingo machine that you pick the balls out of for the numbers. It has words.
I'm pulling them out of my mouth right now to make words. Try to make some words.
And there goes my imagination way into left field.
Whoa.
But I hardcore believe that dragons exist. As a kid,
hardcore,
when
like really believe, like super believe, hardcore. Yeah,
yeah. Right. I'm hardcore, but yeah,
there's
no, I seriously, I believe in dragons.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know where they are,
But I'm up for anything, so I believe in dragons too. Like I said, I don't know where they are.
The reason why I say I hardcore believe in them is because when I was younger, I was staring up at a bunch of storm clouds that were coming in, and something that was darker than the clouds that was above them, that wasn't in the shape of a plane, I saw moving, and it was like a bird flapping type deal, but it was huge.
Okay.
And then I didn't see it anymore. Right. And my own personal belief from that is that when it rains, it's a fight between dragons or whatever, and the rain is actually their blood. Please don't. I know that there's a scientific theory for rain, but I was a kid, okay?
Well, the scientific theory for rain. Okay, hey, listen to this, all right?
I found an article in a book of mine, okay? This is called Ridley, all right? It says, giant thunderbird roosts in Louisa County. In Indian legend, the thunderbird was a giant creature so large that when its wings flapped, it created the boom we call thunder. You know? Its eyes shot bolts of lightning, and it created fear wherever it went. If our correspondent below is right, one place it still goes is Virginia. Back in 1999 or 2000, I believe I saw a thunderbird. I was growing up in Louisa County, Virginia. In the spring of that year, we had a tropical storm. I was standing in my backyard watching the birds ride the wind and thermals when I noticed an extremely large bird flying towards our tree line. I had never seen a bird that big before. Turkey vultures that had been flying around quickly flew off so I could see this animal's size in relation to the vultures. The tree at first attempted to land on steps from its weight, so for about a minute it went from tree to tree until it found one sturdy enough. After watching this animal for close to an hour, it had moved from the tree. It had just been resting and preening itself. So after a while, I decided to see how close I could get. A few minutes later, I was well within 100 feet from the creature, and I could clearly see that it was not a vulture. I've hunted and have been in the outdoors almost all my life, and I've never seen anything like it. Instead of being a dull black like a vulture, it was this beautiful jet black, almost like a grackle. Its head was way different, too. It was shaped more like an eagle's head. It had a big curved beak almost around the neck. Also around the neck was a silver collar. It had huge grasping feet and the talons to match. The entire time I was sneaking up to it, the creature knew I was there, and it kept its head focused on me. As I got closer, I noticed it was making a loud hissing sound, very similar to a goose. I imagine it did not like me getting close to it. After a few minutes, the creature took off. Initially, it needed a few flaps, but after that, it fell out of sight. So, maybe you saw a thunderbird in the sky.
I don't know. Whatever this was, it was huge enough for me to see it in the sky above dark storm clouds.
Well, like I said, the creature was so large that when its wings flapped, it created the boom we call thunder. Its eyes shot bolts of lightning. And apparently the bird likes to come around when it's a storm. So, and Louisa County is not far from you.
Actually, that's where I'm working now.
Well, there you go. And so, I mean, that's going to be an explanation. It's not like a scientific explanation. So, either way, it would be cool to find a thunderbird, you know. No, I don't mean the car either. Obviously.
Although those are nice cars if you get like the late model Thunderbirds.
they're advertising for the Ford now, since you work for Ford. Thunderbirds, great cars.
I don't know, I may work at Ford, but I still like my Jap traps.
Oh, that's fine. We'll you know.
Yeah.
I won't hold that against you. Oh, man.
You drive a Honda, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I know what you mean. I'll pick up what you're putting. Oh, man. So, yeah. So now we've determined that Houston is Thunderbird, so they exist. I mean, you'd think if it was a dragon, there'd be fire in the sky.
That could be what the flashes of lightning in the sky that don't really come down and touch. It could be what that is.
Maybe. So like I said, if it was just a thunderbird, I mean, that's not bad either, you know?
Look, thunderbirds aren't bad either. I mean,
no.
All it was a silhouette. I can't just physically say what it looked like. I just knew it was big and it flew.
Yep, I was listening to someone talking about shadow people the other day on the radio. It made me wonder, like, how much stuff, like people could have seen as kids and just kind of brush it off as a nightmare, but not, you know, if something like a shadow had been in a room, but it wasn't, like, that scary. So we just kind of brushed it off and think about it. Now it's, like, off in our minds.
Yeah. That could explain a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll be sitting in the dark and I think I see things moving in the darkness. Or I thought I saw stuff moving in darkness when I was a kid. Of course, when you're a kid, you're like, well, you know, mom and dad said that stuff isn't real. So obviously it's my imagination. But now, you know, looking back, you're like, what if it wasn't? But if I thought that way, you know, I'd obviously wouldn't ever get any sleep because every time I see something, like, oh my God, what was that? So it's probably good we had that filter. Because as kids, you'd be like, for me personally, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I knew what I know now.
I think as kids, everything is more of like a awe-inspiring, you know, oh, wow, that was awesome type deal instead of, holy crap, what was that? I'm going to have nightmares.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. Depending on what it is, though. I mean, you know, if I see a ghost, I'll know it's a ghost. You know, I'd be all inspiring, like, oh my God! You know, I'd be one of those kids underneath my sheets. You know, with my flashlight, hoping it goes away soon. That's just me. All right, we're heading up to the top of the hour break, so we're gonna play a little song for you guys, whoever's listening, and then we're gonna come back after commercial. So we'll see you in a little bit.
How'd you do? I see you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite. I'm transsexual, Transylvania. Let me show you around and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just stay where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a freak transvestite. I'm transsexual, Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Bite.
Or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite
obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Head, head, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
Oh, there we go. So,
Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, do you like that?
That I was doing the dance along with it. That made my night.
I figured you would like that. nice little break there. Give our audience time to recover from all the awesomeness they just heard. The radio, the audio. Now we are going to talk about seven chakras. Chakra.
You have to keep in mind that there are many, many different chakras in the body, but the main seven ones that go through the center of the body are the ones that everybody talks about. And then they're the main ones for the balance and everything, and different perceptions, and definitely shedding a lot of light on different things that happen to people.
I've always found the idea of the seven chakras interesting, as far as how they work and how to balance them out, or different healings and stuff like that. I've always been interested in it. I don't understand how it works, So it's complex. It's interesting because I just can't wrap my mind around it,
Yeah. Like, I just got into the chakra energy and chakra healing. I have had my chakras realigned once, and that was a lot of money, so I got into attempting to do it on my own, which saved me.
I like fixing your car. Like I can't afford it myself. I can't afford to pay somebody else to do it. So I'm gonna do it myself. I'm gonna learn how to do my own shop.
Well, it's not hard. I mean, most of it's through meditation. You can use items like candles and stones, clothing, oils, different foods. especially for like stimulants and trying to keep, you know, healthy in a sense. Because the main seven chakras, if they're thrown out of alignment, you can have a lot of crazy, crazy stuff happening with your body and think it's something completely different when really all you need is a chakra realignment.
But you go to a doctor's office. You got to go to a special doctor to be told you need a chakra realignment. Who would you talk to if you need a chakra realignment?
The one person that I asked about realigning my chakras was my friend Amanda's dad when they lived in Midlothian.
Uh-huh.
And he was considered a high priest and a coven. And he had me lay flat on this bench, and he had I don't want to say it was a prayer bag. It was a leather pouch that had a couple of different items in it that he used. He never told me what was in it, but he told me that I should create my own, which I haven't gotten around to yet. I've been collecting numerous items for one. And he got, huh?
Well, you've been collecting numerous items for a prayer bag. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I call them prayer bags or protection bags. It's like a little leather pouch that you can put different stones in, and you kind of keep them on your person. And so he had me lay down on this bench, and he guided me through a meditation type deal, and he held it over my body, and he said that he couldn't help me because of the alignment being off so bad. So there's a place in Richmond, right past M. Brooks on Broad Street,
mm-hmm.
that advertises for a psychic. So I went in there and asked her how much a chakra realignment would be, and I paid for it. And she used the the tone bowls to help me out a little bit, and that was oh good Lord, that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
So after you got your chakras realigned, did you feel better?
I felt so much better, physically along with mentally.
How does that work? Can you go through the process of what happened to get your chakras realigned? I mean, is that
stress and not, think of your body like a car. If you don't do a tune-up and, you know, put the right kind of oil or fluids in it, it's going to mess up and break down eventually. And little things will start breaking first before the thing decides it's going to take a poop on you and not move.
Yeah, I think you gotta take care of the little things first. That's true. But when you got your chakra realigned, is it like meditation? Was it like a massage? Was it like, you know?
It was a meditation.
Everything fine or what?
It was a meditation, and I personally haven't gotten into the tone bowls yet. It's That's right. You didn't go down to the ARE.
Yeah.
They have them. I saw them at the Edgar Cayce Institute, and one lady. It's basically you can use. I don't know what kind of metal it is, but it's a bowl that has a what looks like a mortar and pestle type deal, but it's a bigger bowl, and you tap the side of it to make it gong, and then you run the pestle part around the edge, and it makes this tone of humming. It's supposed to help with the realignment. I haven't read much into that. I'm more of the meditation type right now. I haven't really delved that far.
Well, okay, let's get into all that. Let's try to explain what a chakra is exactly. And I actually found an article explaining what a chakra is, so that maybe people who are listening can we'll take them step by step, you know, and work way up to the realignment stuff, you know. For me,
okay.
It's baby steps, because I don't know what I'm wrong. It's on about.com. It's about holistic healing. It's an article I found. It's what is a chakra exactly? Chakras are our energy centers. They are the openings for life energy to flow into and out of our aura. Their function is to vitalize the physical body and to bring about the development of our self-consciousness. They are associated with physical, mental, and emotional interactions. Does that sound about right?
What was that last part?
They are associated with our physical, mental, and emotional interactions. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes. That pretty much nailed it.
We'll see. Again, like, you know, living in such a, like, a scientific point of view my whole life, like we said, this whole chakra thing is just opening up new doors, new, you know, hallways for me to walk down. Because, you know, people are like, oh, these spiritual healers, and, you know, when I was younger, be like, oh, that's just a bunch of bullshit. Now it's like, well, maybe there's something to it. The real question is, what do chakras look like? Well, I'll tell you. Chakras have been depicted as a funnel of sorts, with smaller funnels within the funnel. They're also often referred to as looking like lotus flowers. I have intuitively viewed the intake of individual chakras as appearing similar to the blades of a fan or a windmill in circular motion. So. I guess the chakras are look like whatever you want them to look like, apparently.
Yeah.
Or
flower,
funnel, or whatever.
Did you notice that even though they say that there's a couple different forms, like the spiral and the lotus flower, it's all still on the circular formation?
Yeah, you're all circular. So we're
it's
basic circular shapes, or
basically.
Well, now we're getting into introducing the seven chakras, and had a nice MP3 I was going to play for you, but apparently the studio is just won't process it, so I will have to read the article. The first one that's on the list here is called the root chakra, which, let's see here. I hope my computer didn't freeze up on me when I'm doing this. Okay. That would be my luck. The root chakra. Chakra 1, exploring the major chakras. The base of or root chakra is associated with the color red. This chakra is the grounding force that allows us to connect to the earth. So it's probably our feet, earth energies, and empower our beings. Focusing one's attention on the color of a cherry, popsicle, or a juicy red apple can help bring our energetic body down to earth. And in alignment with our physical body, where we find ourselves energetically fleeting, or in other words, spacing off. So if you start daydreaming, I guess, spacing off, you can look at the color red, like a red apple or something, and apparently it brings you back into focus. The color, red, Sanskrit name, Malahatra. Physical location, base of the spine, well, I'm wrong, it's in the base of the spine, not the feet. Purposes, kinesthetic feelings and movement, spiritual lessons, material world lessons, physical dysfunctions, lower back pain, sciatica, various varicose veins, rectal tumors, depression, immune-related disorders, mental emotional issues.
Anxiety, insecurity, frustration, and fear are some
survival,
of the...
self-esteem, social order, security, family. I had a pop-up right in front of where I was reading. Information stored inside the root chakra. Familiar beliefs, superstitions, loyalty, instincts, physical pleasure, body governed. Spinal column, kidneys, legs, feet, rectum, immune system. Crystals and gemstones, hematite, black tourmaline, onyx, flower essences, corn, clematis, rosemary. So that is the root chakra.
There's a couple other stimulants that goes along with some of the stones. You can also use red oils, sandalwood, and Lang Lang, like it's an essential oil that you can use to help with stimulation.
Lang Lang, is that an oil? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hmm?
What is Lang Lang?
That is not an essential oil I have run across yet. I normally stick with my,
So it's hard to come by.
Well, I mean, I normally stick with my sandalwood, my dragon's blood, lavender, and of course I start talking about them, and I patchouli. Thank you. There we go.
Ooh, I like patchouli. Much like
patchouli.
like a hippie though. I used to get the patchouli, making candle parts, and Stanton hated those things.
I associate fully with people that have dreads, because everybody so far that I've met that has dreads always smells like patchouli or beeswax.
Yeah, we have my brother-in-law. He's kind of a hippie. He used to smell like patchouli all the time. all right, next on the list of the seven chakras is called the sacral chakra. Get to the article here. The sacral chakra. Chakra 2. Explore the major chakras. The sacral chakra is associated with the color orange or red orange. I usually visualize the sun-kissed orange that has been dyed to attract the produce buyer, or the orange-red of an evening sunset when I'm focusing on spinning my sacral chakra. The chakra often offers us the opportunity to lessen our control issues and find a balance in our lives, to the only options in our relationships. The process of making changes in our life stream through our personal choices is a product of our sacred chakra energy. A well-functioning sacred chakra helps one to maintain a healthy yin-yang existence. And here's the going down to the chart again. Color, orange, Sanskrit name, Swatistana. Physical location, lower abdomen to the navel. Purposes, emotional connection, spiritual lesson, creativity, manifestation, honoring relationships, learning to let go. Physical dysfunctions, lower back pain, sciatica, OBGYN problems, pelvic pain, libido, urinary problems. Mental/emotional issues, blame, guilt, money, sex, power, control, creativity, morality. Information stored inside the sacral chakra, duality, magnetism, controlling patterns, emotional feelings, joy, anger, and fear. Area body governed, sexual organs, stomach, upper intestines, gallbladder, kidney, pancreas, adrenal glands, spleen, middle spine. Crystals/gemstones. Garnet, moonstone, orange tourmaline, flower essences, Indian cake brush, lady slippers, and hibiscus.
That pretty much covers it. It also has to do with your social abilities and if you have intimacy issues.
Yeah, that thing, that would go with the sex part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the fallen chakra. Yeah.
Other.
The naughty chakra.
There's other imbalances for it, like alcohol and drug abuse, asthma and allergies, and depression as well.
Well, I don't see allergies to mess up the sexual chakra. I think allergies just mess up a lot of shit. Oh, sorry to stretch. The next on our go ahead.
Oh.
No. What do you want to say?
I was going to say, some other stimulants would be oils such as orange essential or Melissa. Water aerobic.
Melissa?
Which is, that's
like the name
secret.
Melissa?
Like the name Melissa.
Okay, there's an oil named Melissa. So sorry, I am getting you clear.
There's an essential oil named Melissa.
Okay. All right, Sarah, we're on the same page here.
Yeah. also, water aerobics is pretty good for stimulating it, and embracing sensations such as like different food tastes or and stuff like that.
Okay. See, our listeners are learning something new from us. We're not really also educational at the same time. We make learning fun. We're on chakra number 3 now. It's the solar plexus chakra. Woohoo! The solar
Don't get
plexus.
Hit in the solar plexus, it hurts.
educational right there. Nerds there. The solar plexus chakra is associated with becoming yellow. This is the area which defines our self-esteem. The personality that develops during puberty is housed in this chakra, otherwise known as the ego. Anyone experiencing dysfunction of the third chakra is having difficulty obtaining or maintaining his or her own personal power. The intuitive chakra is where we get our gut instincts that signal us to do or not to do something. Strong self-esteem is required for developing intuitive skills. Chakra 3, associations. Color, yellow. Sanskrit name, Manipura. Physical locations, the solar plexus. Purposes, mental understanding of emotional life. Spiritual lesson, the acceptance of your place in the life stream, self-love. Physical dysfunctions, stomach ulcers, intestinal tumors, diabetes, pancreatitis, indigestion, anorexia, bulimia, hepatitis, cirrhosis, adrenal imbalances, arthritis, colon diseases. Mental/emotional issues, self-esteem, fear of rejection, oversensitivity to criticism, self-image fears of our secrets being found out, indecisiveness. That's a lot. Information stored inside solar plexus chakra, personal power, personality, consciousness of self within the universe, sense of belonging, knowing, area of body governed, upper abdomen, umbilicus to rib cage, liver, gallbladder, middle spine, spleen, kidney, adrenals, small intestines, stomach, crystal/gemstones, yellow jasper, golden topaz, yellow tourmaline, flower essences, chamomile, yellow, golden yarrow, and peppermint. Mouthful.
It's a lot to say, sir.
Yes, it is. And I'm all like halfway through. So, all right, what are the essential oils that, and stones, whatever, that has to do with the solar plexus chakra?
Lemon and rosemary. So, other stimulants would be like mind puzzles, detox programs, and reading informative books. This also has to do with your balance of intellect, self-confidence, humor, and self-control. You pretty much covered most of the imbalances. Poor memory is also a sign that it could be out of place.
Well, I definitely have my that chakra out of place because I mean, shoot, I have poor memory and all that other crap. So, yeah, I need to work on that.
Yeah, when I did, I haven't gotten all the way through the chakra meditation CD yet. It seems like every night when I get further and further into it, it helps. I started with my base chakra the first night I got home from Virginia Beach, and I woke up the next morning with no lower back pain. My knees and my ankles didn't hurt when I woke up, and I could actually walk down my stairs without having to grab the wall.
Wow. See, that's awesome.
So it's legitimate. It does help.
Well, that definitely is right out then, for sure. See if it helps me a little bit. I'm always waking up and, like, back pain and shit. Okay, the fifth chakra is the throat chakra. The throat chakra is associated with the color sky blue. The chakra is our will center. The healthfulness of the fifth chakra is in relationship to how honestly one expresses himself through herself. Lying violates the body's... Do what?
You skipped one. It goes from the solar plexus to the heart.
Oh. Well, maybe there's someone. I'll go back. Sorry. Lying violates the body and spirit. We speak our voices within our voices, throats. All choices we make in our lives have consequences on an energetic level. Even choosing not to make a choice, such as repressing our anger, not speaking out, may manifest into our laryngitis. We have all experienced that lump in our throats when we are at a crossroad of not knowing how to speak the right words in any given situations, perhaps even stuffing our own emotions. The challenge of the throat chakra is to express ourselves in the most truthful manner, also to receive and assimilate information. Seek only the truth. Chakra 5 associations. Color sky blue. Sanskrit name, Vasuda. Physical location, throat, neck region. Purposes, learning to take responsibility for one's own needs, spiritual lessons, confession, surrender, personal will over to the divine will, faith, truthfulness over deceit, physical dysfunctions, sore throat, mouth ulcers, scoliosis, swollen glands, thyroid dysfunctions, laryngitis, TMJ. Don't know what TMJ stands for. Too much juice. mental/emotional issues, personal expression, creativity, addiction, criticism, faith, decision, making choices, will, lack of authority, information stored inside throat chakra, self-knowledge, truth, attitudes, hearing, taste, and smell, area of body governed, throat, thyroid, trachea, new neck vertebrae, mouth, teeth, gums, esophagus, parathyroid, hyperthalamus, crystals and gemstones, chrysocrylla, lapis, blue opal, flower essences, cosmos, trumpet vine, and larch.
The chakra also affects your ability to trust and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the oils that you can use for stimulants is chamomile or geranium. Another stimulant would be singing in the shower and meaningful conversations.
Meaningful conversations, like we're having right now?
Exactly.
We're working on our chakras right now as we speak.
Huzzah! A couple of other imbalances is PMS and mood swings. So whenever you're having that time of the month, or the female listeners, whenever you're having that time of the month and it seems like you hate the world and my doll just won't cut it, meditate on your throat chakra and just align it up a little bit, and I'm pretty sure you'll feel a lot better about the world.
That's what we do. We help people on the show. helping people get through their PMS one you know, angry woman at a time. All right. Since we skipped number four, let's go back and do the heart chakra. Heart chakra. Chakra four, explain the major chakras. The heart chakra is associated with the color green or the color pink. This love center of our human energy system is often the focus in bringing about a healing. Thus the word, whereas love heals all, have great truth. Hurtful situations that can affect our emotional being are divorce or separation, grief through death, emotional abuse, abandonment, adultery. All of these are leading to the heart chakra. Physical illnesses brought about by heartbreak require that an emotional healing occur along with physical healing. Learning to love yourself is a powerful step in securing a healthy fourth chakra. The wounded child resides in the heart chakra. Color, green, pink, anahata. Physical location, center of chest, purposes, emotional empowerment. Spiritual lessons, forgiveness, unconditional love, letting go, trust, compassion, physical dysfunctions, heart conditions, asthma, lung and breast cancers, thoracic spine, pneumonia, upper back, shoulder problems, mental slash emotional issues, love, compassion, confidence, inspiration, hope, despair, hate, envy, fear, jealousy, anger, generosity. Information stored inside the heart chakra. Connections or heartstrings to those whom we love. Area of body governed. Heart, circulatory system, blood, lungs, rib cage, diaphragm, thymus, breast, esophagus, shoulders, arms, hands, crystal slash gemstones, malachite, emerald, rose quartz, flower essences, holly, poppy, California wild rose.
You can also use essential oils such as eucalyptus and pine. Other imbalances for it would be high blood pressure, muscular tension, chest pains. And it also affects the acceptance of oneself, the ability to have self-control and compassion. Some other stimulants would be nature walks and time spent with friends or family.
Cool. Are you ready to learn about the brow chakra now?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. The brow chakra is associated with the color indigo. It is often referred to as the third eye or the mind center. It is our avenue to wisdom, learning from our experiences and putting them in perspective. Our ability to separate reality from fantasy or delusions is in connection with the healthfulness of the chakra. Achieving the art of detachment beyond small-mindedness is also accomplished through developing impersonal intuitive reasoning. It is through an open brow chakra that visual images are received. Chakra 6, associations. Color, indigo. Sanskrit name. Aina? I don't know. It's A-I-A. A-I-N-A, so Aina. Physical location, center of the forehead. Purposes, action of ideas, insight, mind development, spiritual lesson, understanding reality, physical dysfunctions, brain tumors, strokes, blindness, deafness, seizures, learning disabilities, spinal dysfunctions, panic, depression, mental slash emotional issues, fear of truth, discipline, judgment, evaluation, emotional intelligence, concept of reality, confusion. Information stored inside a sacral chakra. Sacral chakra, but it's not. It's the brow chakra. Seeing clear pictures, symbolic or literal, wisdom and intuition, mental facilities, intellect. area body governed, brain, neurological system, eyes, ears, nose, pituitary, pineal glands, crystals / gemstones, purple fluorite, sugarlite, lapis, flower essences, wild oat, Queen Anne's lace, and Medea.
Medea.
Medea. Or Madia. Or Madia. I don't know what it
is. I don't know. When you said Medea, the only thing that popped in my head was Medea goes to jail.
I'll tell it.
Yeah. Some of the essential oils that help stimulate the brow or the third eye chakra are patchouli and frankincense. All right.
Yeah.
It also. Oh, go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay. this also has to deal with developing psychic abilities and releasing hidden and repressed negative thoughts. I think you covered the whole learning disability thing. It also has to deal with sleep disorders, neck and shoulder problems. This is another one that corresponds with mood swings and PMS. So if if going for the throat chakra doesn't work, then aligning both the throat and the brow would be a double whammy to make you feel better.
Sometimes you got to do both. You got to align the throat chakra with the brow chakra. You know, can't be helped. That's what you got to do.
Some other stimulants would be stargazing.
And starvation.
Meditation. Yeah, starvation. No.
Want to feel better, starve yourself. That always works.
No. That's part of the problem.
Starvation is very bad.
Yeah. No, what you want to do is you want to eat a lot of ice cream. No. Stargazing and meditation helps.
I also got one beer. One beer doesn't help me relearn my chakra. What chakra is associated with beer?
That's the
eighth chakra right there.
The what?
The eighth chakra. The one that doesn't exist is the one that is helpful with beer.
No, that's the Sveta Sasana, the spleen chakra. That one has to do with alcohol and drug abuse.
Sweet, nice.
It's only considered alcohol if you drop it, though, right?
Right, yes, exactly. If you spill it or drop it, it's alcohol abuse. We're down to the last chakra. I know. It's sad. We finally arrived at the crown chakra. The crown chakra is associated with the color violet or white. We use the seventh chakra as a tool to communicate with our nature. It's through this vortex that the life force is dispersed from the universe into the six lower chakras. It's like raining down on the chakras. And it's been referred to as our God source. But this terminology might be confusing to anyone who equates God with religious dogma. Because of this, I choose to call it a spiritual connection or communicator. This chakra is often pictured as a lotus flower, opening to allow spiritual awakening in an individual. The crown chakra can also be considered the well intuitive knowing is drawn from. The crown chakra can also be considered the well intuitive knowing is drawn from. All right. Chakra 7 associations, color, violet, / white, Sanskrit name,
Sahasrara.
Physical purposes. intuitive knowing, connection to one's spirituality, integration of the whole, spiritual lessons, spirituality, living in the now, mystical depression, physical dysfunction, sorry, mystical depression, diseases of the muscular system, cerebral system, and the skin, chronic exhaustion not associated with physical ailments, sensitivity to light, sound, environment, mental / emotional issues, discovery of the divine, lack of purpose, loss of meaning or identity, trust, selflessness, humanitarianism, ability to see the bigger picture in the life stream, devotion, inspiration, various ethics, information stored inside, duality, magnetism, controlling patterns, emotional feelings, joy, anger, fear, area of body governing, top of the head, midline above the ears, crystal/gemstones, amber, diamond, moldavite sounds like some kind of toothpaste, or vitamins, moldavite sounds like moldy vitamins, actually, not good.
Moto.
It's just flower essences, lotus, angelica, star, tulip. That's a mouthful.
Some essential oils that are related to it are lavender and jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
It could also lead, or also has associations with skin rashes, epilepsy, and senility. It also has to do with integrating the consciousness and subconsciousness into the superconsciousness, which I thought was cool. I haven't made it to my crown chakra yet, but once I do, that 10% brain usage is hopefully going to multiply to like 20%.
I need to do that. I need to work my way up to my crown chakra.
Yeah, it's also supposed to help with connecting to the concept of God or the higher intelligence, or whatever deity you may believe is out there. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's all pretty cool.
In all aspects, though, if you believe in more than one God, and you believe gods and goddesses, It's going to be a lot of connecting there.
Yeah, it might be almost too much. Depending on how many you believe in.
Or maybe each meditation connect with one.
Oh, yeah. You start trying to do it all at the same time. Might be stretching yourself then, you know. Plus, that's interesting stuff.
Definitely an eye opener. So before you pump the gun and go to doctor for like back pains and stuff like that, try a little meditation. See if it'll help.
I mean, you have to explain like what do you mean by meditation, like what that entails. What for me, people don't even know what meditation is or how to even do it.
Basically, all right. What I do when I meditate, it's basically you're calming your whole body. I like doing it laying down because I actually found this out not too long ago that sitting cross-legged and crossing your ankles, what it does is it twists your spine so you're not completely relaxed. And you're blocking everything else out of your mind, and it tells you, like the color association, when I did the one for the base chakra, basically imagining a red ball of light where your base chakra is supposed to be. You imagine it swirling around where the lower spine, around your legs, all the way down your knees, your calves, and your feet. And then you imagine that red light branching out and going into the ground and making roots that just keep
branching out and going deeper and deeper down to ground yourself and to ground your chakra. It's a relaxation of the mind and the body, and it's supposed to help you kind of feel more at ease. Like, I know after a hard day at work, I'm tense as crap, and I'm agitated if I'm hot. Like, today I was super excited. I didn't feel any agitation whatsoever. But with my car, when I did my transmission, that was aggravating the crap out of me. So I definitely had to do some meditating that week.
Yeah, I bet you did a lot of meditating that week.
Yeah.
Not having a car.
Yeah. Stuck in one place, not being able to go anywhere, or bumming rides from other people kind of makes me feel crappy.
That can definitely be stressful. Faux show.
So, now that we've opened your eyes to the chakras, what do you think about maybe trying meditations and stuff like that? See if it'll help.
Well, like I said, I'll have to read more about the different kinds of chakras, you know, because how to meditate, how to get my chakra realigned. You say it costs a lot of money to do?
I think, I mean, depending on where you go, it could be anything from $25 to $30 up to maybe $80 to $100. And you really should get a feel for the person who's trying to do it as well.
Well, yeah, I'm not paying $80 to $100 to.
I don't know, the guided meditation CD that I have is basically this guy that talks you through the whole beginning of the, like a beginner's meditation to just kind of relax your body. And then he guides you through the different meditations for the chakras, like what you should be seeing or imagining and how it should go. And I don't know, it was eye-opening.
It sounds like it. It sounds like something that would be interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
Get into. I'm just, you know, it's a lot of information to take in all at once, you know. As far as
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
But it's a lot of information to take in all at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm still trying to get my head around it, you know. But you're learning about all seven chakras at one time. I think once I can just go back and, because honestly, I was just reading the stuff out loud. I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't really sinking in. So maybe later on tomorrow or tonight, I'll go back and I'll read it to myself when I can sink in and I'll be able to understand it better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get towards the end. You get to, like, seventh chakra. Like, I just want to get over with because you can barely speak.
No, I mean, like, a good idea for you is to just, like, each day of the week, pick one chakra, like the first one, the base chakra. Read about it. And even if you go to YouTube to listen to some of the guided meditations, then go for it by all means. But I'm telling you, it's helpful both physically and mentally.
Well, it sounds. I mean, I don't doubt that at all.
I'm not saying you're knocking it. I'm just saying if you want to, it's not harmful. It's not like going to a doctor and them handing you a prescription for steroids that's going to mess up your body and make you either stay up all night or just mess your stomach up to the point where you can't really keep food in your body for long. Because it's more of a natural way to take care of it. And if the natural way doesn't work, then by all means, please go to a doctor. Because then there's something physically wrong.
We're not trying to shut down hospitals here. You know. it could help, but it may not be the end all be all solution that you need.
Yeah.
But it could also maybe help you relax and help you, you know, feel better about yourself and feel more balanced. You know, and if it's something
most
you do on your own, why not give it a shot, you know? What's the harm?
Exactly. It's not like starting a medicine from a shrink and then all of a sudden you don't like the way it feels and you can't really stop it because it'll mess you up even more.
Yeah, I think some people might be embarrassed. I mean, there are people out there who, you know, think of this one as like, you know, hocus-pocus, mumbo-jumbo stuff that they're almost like embarrassed to try it, you know, as far as, you know, chakras or whatever they think. Well, man, I don't want to do it because what would my friends say if they knew I was doing this? Don't talk.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention you need like eye of newt and like tongue of cow and, you know, have that boiling in the same room as your medicine.
Yeah, exactly. Be sure to ride your broomstick to the store with a black
double trouble toiling or double toiling trouble.
Yes, and if you don't have a long nose and warts, then it won't work.
I've got
really
good makeup to hide that. That's why you don't see it.
Yeah, there we go. They, you know, I guess there's a stigma against that stuff that's been around for, you know, just because religions and stuff don't want you. I guess even doctors don't want you to. They want you to be dependent on them. You know, they're not really into holistic healing and stuff because, you know, it might take away their money sources. So they probably poo-poo on it, and, you know, make it sound like it's just, like, this terrible thing, but it's really not. It really helps you in the long run.
Exactly. Exactly, dear Watson.
So, we learned much. So as much as we can teach about chakras, because, you know, we are still learning ourselves about chakras. And, you know, if you want, you can go to look up, go online to Google or Bing or whatever, and you can look up chakras to learn all about them online. I went to about.com, and there's a whole section on holistic healing. And you can read all the articles for yourself. And you can be well on your way to having a balanced physical and emotional and spiritual life. Thanks to your friends here at Freaking Awesome Supernatural Talk. You're welcome.
Awesome.
Well, it's so good to help people, Kristen.
It is. I don't know. It's something about helping people that I like. I always like to help people that like to help themselves.
This is true, but I mean, it is true. We are freaking awesome. We are such good people.
It's brought a tear to my eye.
So, what have we learned today on Freaking Awesome Supernatural Talk, Kristen? What have we learned today?
We have learned that leprechauns exist.
Awesome.
Thunderbirds have been spotted in the
Thundercats.
Oh. Yeah, I know, right?
Thundercats exist? Oh, my God. Why
is that? He's amazing. Thunderbirds have been spotted in the county of Louisa, right here in Central Virginia.
That's right.
We've learned a possibility for time travel based off of Pegasus and a picture with Abraham Lincoln.
Awesome.
And we've learned about the seven chakras, how they affect your body, some of the symptoms if they might be out of line, and how to realign them to an extent.
Well, I think we have taught our listeners a whole lot tonight. Hopefully you've enjoyed our paranormal lessons. Or, you know, we were supposed to have Tasha Starr, but unfortunately she had something came up, which is fine. You know, we understand that kind of stuff happens. And but luckily, you know, we had some stuff to talk about, and I think we did a pretty good job.
You did a freaking awesome supernatural job.
Yes, we did. That's what we are. That's what we do. So before I lose my voice, I'm gonna play us a song and get the hell out of here. Kristen, it's been real.
It has.
Awesome.
And listeners, I hope you have a wonderful night, and hopefully your Monday was great and your week jumps off on the right foot.
You know, anything coming up your listeners need to know about?
What's that?
You know, anything coming up? You know, anything coming up? Any investigations coming up or whatever?
I think we do have an investigation this weekend.
Awesome. And we'll have something to talk about on Monday.
Yes. I'm hoping, like, I'll get out that it'll be awesome, and I'll be able to make it out there because I know I'm getting off at 5, so I'm probably going to have to do, like, the whole get the oil off the arms and change into the ASPS suit.
Sure, you'll have some awesome stories to tell us next week. So be sure to tune in. Same awesome time, same awesome channel. Our webpage, whatever. And I will say goodbye. So, goodbye, Kristen.
Good night.